This is our last class of series about Sefirot, the Kabbalah of Sefirot. And we are going to be learning with you the last two of the Sefirot. So let us have a little bit of a review. First, we start everything with Keter. Keter is the initial force of godly energy which is coming into this world. And this force of godly energy is plain, a simple, it's not broken down into ingredients yet. This is the divine energy in its pure form. And we were saying that in our own existence, it can be compared to our drive, our desire to go on with our lives, to live our lively force. Then we have three Sefirot, which are corresponding to our intellect. And they are here in the blue color. This is Chochmah on the right, Binah on the left, and Da'at in the middle. Chochmah is the initial idea that is coming into our head, a thought, or alternatively, it could be a thought that I have learned from someone else, from an external source of information. Again, when I hear something from another person, or when I read a book or a news article, I don't know yet if it makes sense. I don't know if it's true. I have to analyze it. As you probably have already learned, not everything you hear in the news is true. And not everything which you read in the books makes sense. So you have a idea which is coming to you from an external source and you need to analyze it. You didn't do it yet. You just figured it out. You just understood it. Now you have to analyze it. And this is Binah. Binah is our capability to understand something, to break something down. And again, it works with both the ideas that we come up with on our own and the ideas that we receive from somewhere else. We need to understand what they mean to us and also where do they come from? What do they lead to and what are they based on? Both of these things are very important. Both of these things are part of Binah. And then comes Da'at. Da'at, this is the step where a knowledge that I have on a theoretical level is becoming my practical knowledge. This is where this information is becoming part of my worldview, part of my being, part of my understanding. And as long as something is purely on theoretical level, I will never act on it. It'll have no effect on me because this is a piece of news which is not relating to my life. They say that there was a psychiatrist who wrote a lot of books about raising children, and he wrote a lot of books about how you're supposed to be patient with the children and only positive with them. You should only have a positive approach to them. And then he was once pouring concrete on his driveway. He was making a new driveway. And before this concrete had a chance to harden, some neighboring kid started playing in it and made these big, deep footprints in his concrete. He ran out. He got mad. He started yelling at them. His wife sees what's going on. She comes out and she says, "Weren't you writing books about treating children only in a positive manner? Weren't you telling everybody that you have to be very patient with children?" And this psychiatrist said, "Yes, but I only deal with children in theory. I don't deal with children in concrete." So that is dealing with children in concrete. Then we have three Sefirot, which are already the beginning of our emotional world. These are three primary emotions: Chesed, which is love and kindness, my desire to go outside of myself, the drive towards the outer world, and then Gevura, which is strictness, severity, restraint. This is the opposite of Chesed. This is my ability to hold myself back. Then afterwards comes Tiferet. Tiferet is the combination of the two, but we said this is a combination of them too, which is leaning towards Chesed, because as we said, the entire chart that we are seeing over here is leaning towards Chesed, because the very beginning of it, Keter, was chesed, because it was the divine energy that was coming forth towards our world. So if gvura would completely cancel out chesed, then it would be nothing left. It would be zero. It would be a wash. But gvura is restricting some chesed, but it is letting other forces of chesed through, and that's why you have Tiferet, and Tiferet is now much more powerful than chesed was originally, because once chesed is confronted with gvura, and chesed is saying that, I want to give, and gvura says, no, he doesn't deserve it, chesed has nothing to reply. Chesed is kindness. Tiferet is compared to mercy, and we said that mercy is my understanding that this person is not deserving it, but I still want to give him. So when gvura is confronting Tiferet, mercy, and is saying, this guy is not worthy of it, mercy says, I know, so what? I have already taken it into consideration, and I still want to give him. So here, gvura is helpless. And this is why Tiferet is much more powerful than chesed. Then we have three following emotions, which are considered to be secondary. And last time we spoke about Netzach and Hod, and we were saying that Netzach is my ability to overcome outer challenges. Netzach means victory. This is my desire to succeed, my desire to be competitive, my desire to overcome the challenges which I have when they come from the outside. Netzach is my work with the outside world. Hod is my ability to overcome inner challenges, my work on myself. And last time we spoke about these two sefirot. Today we're going to be talking about Yesod. What is Yesod? Yesod is number 6. If you will notice, the entire pattern of this chart is that we have two opposites on the right and on the left, and then there is a point in the middle, which is the synthesis of these two, and then this synthesis is serving as a bridge towards the lower level. And then again, it branches out onto two. So now we understand that Yesod is meant to be the synthesis between Netzach and Hod, and then afterwards it needs to be a bridge towards a lower level. Yesod is a distribution point. This is the last one of Sefirot that have a specific task, and it is here to collect everything which is above and then transmit it to the lower level, to Malchut. And by the way, Yesod is also called the truth, Emet. In Jewish tradition, word truth is not taken lightly. Word truth in Hebrew is comprised of three letters. Aleph, which is the first letter, Mem, which is the middle letter, and Taf, which is the last letter of Hebrew alphabet. And something which is true is consistent, and it is the same in the beginning, in the middle, and the end. And because truth never changes, we know that truth is the same in all times and in all places. This is why we say that our Torah is true. Our Torah is true means that it can never be changed. If Torah would be able to change, then it would not be the truth with a capital T. If Torah would adapt to the local culture of where Jews live, then it would not be the truth with a capital T. In order to be true, in order to be truthful, in order to be the truth with a capital T, something has to include in itself all possible sides. If I look at the situation and I see only one aspect of what is going on, I cannot have a truthful picture of what is happening. If I know someone only from one side of his life and not from another side of his life, I cannot have a truthful image of this person. To be truthful, I need to have a wholesome picture. And this is why Yesod, which is the last one of Sefirot that have a specific task, is called the truth, because it is the synthesis of all of the previous ones. It has a complete picture. None of the previous Sefirot have this advantage. And now the question is, what is Yesod doing with all this? Okay, it is collecting everything. What is it doing with it? It is going to pass it on to Malchut. The relationship between Yesod and Malchut is the relationship between a giver and a receiver. And it says that Yesod is here to arouse Malchut's desire and ability to receive, and Malchut is here to receive. Malchut is sort of a passive sphira. Yesod is active because it's a giver. It doesn't have a specific characteristic in terms of a distinct emotion, but it has a specific characteristic in terms of function. Its function is to give. Malchut does not even have that function of its own. Malchut is a receiver, but it is a passive receiver. It needs to be aroused in order to be able to receive. We see here that Yesod is collecting everything and then later kind of pushing it through down to Malchut. Yesod in Hebrew, the word Yesod means foundation. Why is this sphira called foundation? Why is it a foundation? Well, because the foundation is what everything is standing on. The foundation of this house is the part of the house that everything is standing on. The entire house is standing on. So Yesod is a foundation. You look at it, you'll say, well, yeah, it kind of makes sense. Because when we were studying our Sefirot, we were going from top to bottom. This is the bottom Sefirah, so I guess it's on the bottom. That's the foundation. Everything is standing on. It's kind of true. And this is because, really, we went from top to bottom. And when we were looking at Keter, this is divine energy that everything started with, you have to ask a question, what everything was made for? What was the purpose? The purpose was the bottom levels. So bottom level is the foundation because that's the purpose. You could have said that really the purpose is Malchut. And this is true. It's true that it is Malchut. But because Malchut is a sphira that does not have any characteristic of its own, it's totally passive, it's not called the foundation. The sphira of Yesod is called a foundation because it is the last of active Sefirot. And also, Yesod is called the Sefira of bonding. Because really, to connect with another person, to connect with someone else, with a group of people, I need to have this Yesod. This is what I have to connect with others. If I have any communication or any connection with another person, that means that I'm either giving or receiving. There's nothing else. I'm either a giver or a receiver. Either I'm giving something and the person is receiving that thing, or I'm giving information and the person is receiving information, or I am transmitting some emotions and another person is receiving these emotions. In a healthy environment, two friends, let's say, are exchanging these positions all the time. 1 minute this person is going to be the giver and the other one is going to be a receiver, and then vice versa. People are givers and receivers not only when they talk, it's also people's body language, people's smile, people's facial expressions. We communicate primarily with our body language. Only 7% of the information that we receive from another person is communicated to us via speech. 93% is communicated to us via other means, body language, tone of voice, facial expressions. So you saw this called communication because every communication starts with a giver. If I see you and I want to become your friend, I can try to be a receiver. I will be standing next to you and waiting for you to give me something or tell me something. You look at me funny and walk away. The only way for me to start communication is to talk to you. Well, talking means being a giver. I am giving you some information. Saying hello is being a giver. Smiling at you, that's being a giver. I am communicating via my facial expression. the way any communication can be started only from the side of the giver. A receiver can be receiving something passively or actively. There are people who are active receivers. They take, but they take only if there is something given. You cannot take if there's nothing to take. A communication starts always with a giver, and yesod is called bonding, creating connections with others, because this is how we connect with other people. And once we have the synthesis of netzach, which is our ability to overcome our challenges, including our own limitations, our own comfort zone on one hand, and hod, our ability to work on ourselves, that's what creates yesod, our ability to communicate with others, because netzach essentially is the vehicle through which I communicate, connect with others. Hod is the material that I transmit. If I don't have hod, I have nothing to give over. I might wanna connect with others, but I have nothing to say. I wanna be kind, but I have nothing to give. I want to smile, but I have no emotional energy for any positive emotions. So netzach and hod, the vehicle of communication and the material of communication, create yesod, which is my connection with others. We also mentioned before that the 6 days of creation are corresponding to these sfirot. So yesod is the sixth day, and yesod is corresponding to the day when both animals and humans were created. And we know that Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, is celebrated on the sixth day of creation, which is the day of Yesod. Why is that? Because till the sixth day, even though the world was created, but it was meaningless. The world had no point to exist because the world was not able to improve itself, work on itself, move forward. Only once a human was created, and only once he was told by God that he needs to improve this world. This was the whole idea of Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, working in the Garden of Eden. This is when the entire creation has obtained its meaning, and this is when the first day of Rosh Hashanah is. So Yesod is a sphira that is essentially giving meaning to all the previous ones. That's why it's called foundation. And Adam and Chava were told to rule over the rest of the creatures. They were told that they need to be in charge because they're the ones who are giving them meaning. They're the ones who are capable of making this world better. Monkeys and cows cannot make this world better. Monkeys and cows can only eat each other or peacefully graze beside each other. They cannot improve this world. Monkeys have existed for thousands of years. I haven't seen any improvement in this world that monkeys have made. So monkeys cannot improve the world, humans can. And how do we do it? By connecting with the world. If Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, would be living in their cave, secluded from the rest of the world, I don't know how they would eat, and I don't know what they would drink, but let's say it would be possible, then they would not be able to improve this world because they would not be interacting with this world. And this is why they were told to rule over this world, to improve this world. And this is Yesod. It says in the Torah that a tzaddik, a righteous person, is the foundation of this world. It's a verse in the book of Mishlei, Proverbs. It says, tzaddik Yesod Olam. A righteous person is the foundation of the world. You would think that it means that the entire world is standing on the shoulders of a righteous person, which is true, but it means that and then something else. It also means that tzaddik is yesod ha'olam. Word yesod, the foundation, is the same as the sfira yesod. A righteous person is compared to yesod. Why? Because, as we said, yesod is the connector, is the active giver from the higher sfirot to malchut, A righteous person is the connector from godliness to malchut, which is us people. And it says that yesod is supposed to be not only giving, it's supposed to be arousing the desire of malchut to receive. By the way, this is the difference between, let's say, binah, which is receiving from chokhmah, and malchut. We were saying that chokhmah and binah are also giver and receiver. But binah is an active receiver. Binah wants to take. You give an idea to a person who is good at developing ideas, and he is going to grab it. He wants to hear these ideas. He wants to develop some new information. What about malchut? Malchut is just sitting there. Malchut is a passive recipient. This is why a tzaddik is supposed to inspire the people of his generation. A tzaddik is supposed to arouse the desire of receiving godliness among the people, and then he's supposed to give it to them. And this is the relationship between Yesod and Malchut. In our personal lives, we can compare it to, let's say, if I have a lot of energy one day, but I have nothing to use it for. This is Yesod without Malchut. I want to be a giver. I have nothing to give it to. I don't have anywhere to put this energy into. Or as women sometimes say, all dressed up and nowhere to go. I'm all dressed up. I'm ready to show myself in all my beauty to the world, but I have nowhere to show up. I have nowhere to go. This is Yesod without Malchut. I want to connect to people by presenting myself to them. And this is one of the ways of being a giver, but I have no receiver. Nobody wants to see me. So this is Yesod without Malchut. And Malchut without Yesod is just a project. They're just sitting there waiting to be done, but there's nobody doing it. And we also know that the seventh day is called Malchut as well. Shabbat in Jewish tradition is called Shabbat HaMalka, Shabbat the Queen. Why Shabbat Queen? Shabbat is a queen because of the Sfira of Malchut. If Shabbat is the most important day of our week, if it's the holiest day, it would only make sense that it should be the first one. Usually, the most important things are in the front. So we should have first Shabbat and then all the subsequent days, starting Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. If Shabbat is the most important day, why are we putting it to be the last? And the answer is because Shabbat is supposed to be receiving from all the previous days. It says, whoever did not work during the 6 days of the week will not be able to eat on Shabbat. First of all, it has a literal meaning because you need to cook food to eat on Shabbat. In order to cook food, you need to buy food that you will cook. In order to buy food, you need to earn money. So you need to work for 6 days in order to have food for Shabbat. This is the literal meaning. But then there's also an esoteric Kabbalistic meaning of it that alludes to the fact that Shabbat is here to elevate all the previous 6 days. Shabbat is here to elevate the previous six Sfirot, which means that when God created this world, he was creating it during the 7 days of the first week. So we say 7 days of creation. Well, 1 second, 7 days of creation, but really there were only 6 days of creation. God didn't create anything on the seventh day. It specifically says that God rested. So why is it called 7 days of creation? What was created on the seventh day? It says that God rested. In Hebrew, rested is va'inafash. We say it even in our siddur when we make kiddush. Shabbat va'inafash. Nafash means to rest, and nafash also means to elevate spiritually. Nafash comes from the word nefesh, which means soul. Infused with soul, infused with spirituality. So refraining from work, from physical work, is what we need in order to infuse something with spirituality. This is the reason why Malchut is supposed to be passive. We really could have finished all of the Sfirot with Yesod and said, okay, so this is the Sfira which is collecting everything from the previous ones, and now it is just ready to give to the next level, whatever this level is. Why do you need Malchut for? Well, you need a level that is going to then receive from Yesod, because If there's no active giver, then the receiver will not be obtaining it in its pure form. Yesod has its own characteristic. Its characteristic is giver. That's its characteristic. So is whatever he is passing on pure? No, it's not. Because he has a characteristic. He is a giver. It's as if you are listening to someone who is giving you news, but you understand that he has his own bias. He has a characteristic. He has a specific point that he is trying to make. He's not just giving you news. It has a tint of his own identity there. So whatever Yesod has collected has a tint of its identity. So whatever a lower level would be getting is not pure synthesis of all of the previous Sefirot. You need to have a passive Sefira that does not have anything of its own in order to have a pure synthesis of everything from above. And this is what Malchut is. When we have 6 days of our work, can we make them spiritual? No, because these are the days that each one of them, including Friday, the last day, which is Yesod, they have their own agenda. Their own agenda is a specific material desire. As long as something has a material leaning, its own agenda, it cannot be focusing on spirituality. Once we have freed ourselves from these material desires, this is when we could focus on spirituality, and that's Malchut. Malchut is always used as a bridge for lower worlds, because these 10 Sefirot are present in every spiritual world, and these spiritual worlds have their own chain called Hishtalshelut in Hebrew. We could call it devolution. You see, in the secular world, they always talk about evolution, how things are progressing. In Kabbalah, they talk about devolution, how things are regressing. Because from the spiritual height to us here, the levels of spirituality are degrading. So there is devolution which is going on, and devolution is happening by these Sefirot being present on every level. So Malchut of one world is connecting to the highest levels of the lower world. And you cannot cut it out, because if Yesod would be connecting to the lower worlds, then lower worlds would not be getting this godliness in its purity. So Malchut is a passive recipient. It absorbs everything passively, but then it's not supposed to keep it. Then it, after it is a passive recipient, it has a need to share it with others. This is why tzaddik, a righteous person, is called Yesod. He's supposed to inspire us towards God. But then what are we supposed to do once we get inspired towards God? We are supposed to use this inspiration to do mitzvot, which is what? Dealing with lower worlds. We are supposed to use this inspiration to connect with something below us, just like Malchut is connecting with lower worlds. And this is why, actually, Malchut means king or royalty, kingdom. We are used to king being something the most exalted. King is in charge of the country. King is someone that everybody is bowing down to. When Alter Rebbe, first Lubavitch Rebbe, when he was arrested second time, just a couple years after his first arrest, the complaint that was brought against him was that he is teaching a theory where Malchut, kingship, is the lowest of all of the Sefirot. So this was presented to the court as him making fun of the Tsar, because he is denigrating him. The Alter Rebbe has explained that this is the last one of divine Sefirot, because in the Jewish tradition, king has two characteristics. Yes, he is in charge of the country. But why is he in charge of the country? He is in charge of the country because he has an absolute humility, what's called in Hebrew bitul, which means self-nullification, in front of God, in front of higher spiritual worlds. King is able to be a king for lower levels only because of him being nothing to higher levels. And this is what a true king is. In the world's history, a vast majority of kings probably did not live up to this idea. But in the Jewish context, how our kings are supposed to be and how King David was, King Solomon was, they were nullified in front of God, and this is why they were able to be kings. And Malchut, we in the beginning were describing also as the executive function. And this is very important. We know that today the most important person in a company is CEO. The most important person in a country is the president. Well, really, every company has a board of directors, and CEO is just the person who's running it. A country has a Senate. Different countries have a different body that makes laws. And the president or prime minister is only called executive because he is just doing what they are telling him to do. Well, in reality, CEO is supposed to be doing only what the board is telling him. He is not supposed to be adding any of his own agendas. Prime minister or president is called the executive branch because he is supposed to be doing only what Senate or Knesset or House of Representatives or House of Lords, whatever you call it, only what he is told by them to do and nothing else. He is not supposed to have any of his own thoughts, ideas that he is mixing in. Is it really happening? Probably not. And probably that's why our political world is looking the way it does. But that's how it's meant to be. As very often, when you hear political debates now amongst the people debate the laws. So very often I need to ask people, are you describing the law the way it is right now in our country, or you are describing the law the way you want it to be? Because many people don't see this distinction. They think in their own mind what is right, what is wrong, and they want to do what is right in their mind. That might be right, but it's not the law. I might even agree with you that that's right, but it's not the law. So if you are Malchut, if you are an executive branch, if you are CEO of a company, or you are president, you just have to execute whatever the law is, not what you want the law to be. You might even personally disagree with this law, but you have to put yourself aside completely. And this is what the idea of bitul is, self-nullification, when you forget about your own existence. So now we understand the whole point of the relationship between Yesod and Malchut, the giver and the receiver. Malchut without Yesod would have nothing to pass down to lower levels. Yesod without Malchut would not be able to pass down the pure form of everything above it because it has its own agenda. It has its own desire. It has its own leaning. Now we have a complete picture of these Sfirot. And now whenever you will be reading any of the Kabbalistic literature or Hasidus that is referring to any of them, you will have a pretty good picture of how they work.
Thank you, Rabbi.